Thanks, CJ, for joining us. CJ Goodwin, who's director and writer of a new film, not yet released, but looks very interesting and very enticing. Sherlock Holmes, Mayor of the Night. And first of all, title's amazing. And we watched the, teaser trailer that you released most recently, and then started going back and watching all of the teaser stuff you've put out, because there's so much interesting visuals in there that I kind of wanted to consume all I could and try to get an idea of what it's about. So I'm glad we get to talk to you and kind of maybe pick your brain. I know you won't give us away any spoilers, but
sure.
Yeah. So yeah, thanks for coming on and talking to us about it. We're very excited about it.
Of course. Yeah, I'm happy to be on the show, guys. Appreciate it.
So I know you finished filming and you're in post-production, still editing. And are you shopping it around, looking for distribution? Where is it at right now?
Well, man, distribution in itself could be our own podcast for like hours. So obviously distribution in the film world is pretty challenging. For this film right now, we're self-distributing. But we are going through the theaters.
Okay.
What's interesting nowadays, and I think the public will start to realize this, is that the theaters are having less and less content. That's why you see, like, come watch Titanic and Star Wars and The Mummy, and all these movies seen so many times, because they've run out of content. And so the theaters are now actually inviting indie films back into the movie theaters. And so we've done, like, a 180 since the 90s, which is pretty awesome. And so we are actually hunting down theaters, and the goal is for me to go cross country of the U.S. to pretty much all the theaters that we can. And a lot of indie filmmakers have done this. There's been a lot of success doing that. There's one called, like, it's either like Hundreds of Beavers or Thousands of Beavers. It's like a black and white slapstick comedy that came out, I want to say, in Wisconsin. But they did really well. You know, they made $300,000 or $400,000 going to the theaters themselves. Terrifier 2. I know those guys from up in New York, and they did the same thing, and of course theirs took off, word of mouth spread, and they made about $15 million at the box office. And so it's no different. That's basically what I'll be doing.
So that's cool.
That's very exciting that theaters are inviting in more independent stuff. I think that's very cool.
It's a big undertaking to be touring it. I think that's a cool idea though. So
no, it's very, that's the challenging part, right? On the business side, it's like, if you're going to self-distribute, you're going to have to put in a ton of work. But to me, it's just worth it compared to just giving it to a distribution company. And unfortunately, there are a lot of bad ones out there. Like, I haven't even heard of really any good ones, to be honest. most filmmakers are just, they're trying to find that, but it's very tricky. I always tell all the filmmakers, just be careful. Get a lawyer involved with the contracts, make sure they're not stealing your movie, and you know they're making, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars and you're getting pennies. And that's basically what's happening now with the streaming services, unfortunately, man. Like, there's a lot of content on streaming services, and they make a lot of money, and the filmmakers, we get pennies. And I think that's why you'll start to see more indie films in theaters now. And there's been a lot of indie films in theaters. You know, A24 is indie. They're just a little bit bigger budget indie.
Yeah.
But, you know, $1 or $2 million for a film is really not that much in the film world. So those are considered indie films. And a lot of A24s are like that. But what's really cool is that you see big time actors still going to A24 because their stories are just very intriguing and they don't want to go do Transformers 10.
Right. You get the chance to take some risks and do something new and interesting. And I think audiences are hungry for that too. I think that's very interesting. So how long have you been kind of formulating and writing the Sherlock Holmes movie? When did that start?
So the idea came to me while I was filming Eyes of a Roman, which is my last featured film about Spartacus and Crassus and things of that nature. And the actor that played Marcus Crassus, his name's Les Best. And he's been a part of all my films. Really nice guy, fantastic actor. He was on the Leftover show on HBO, if you saw that back in the day. Mm-hmm. So he's been in part of like 50 or 60 films. So one day I just went over to him, we're talking, and I was like, what is your, would you be up to playing like Sherlock Holmes? You know, of course, that's an iconic character. And so he was, you know, pretty quick to say, yeah, I would definitely look at the idea and the story. And I've known this for a while. And he knows that I go pretty deep on my storytelling. And so as soon as I said Sherlock Holmes, he was pretty excited. But the answer to the question, I mean, that would have been like almost 4 years ago, I guess.
Oh, wow.
Once the idea kind of came in play. And then it took me about, I don't know, three or four months to write the first half of the film, which I did something very unique with this movie, which I normally don't do. But we filmed the first half of the movie, April, May, and June, and we took July and August and September off. And then we came back and finished it in October and November. Mm-hmm. And so during those months, those 3 months that we weren't filming, I basically wrote the rest of the film, although I had like really big blocks and like points I wanted to connect the dots with. Mm-hmm. But it gave me a chance to go back and kind of fine tune some things, which everything has its pros and its cons, you know. So I don't know if I'll ever do that again.
Did you feel that kind of spacing it out like that kind of took a little momentum away, or were you able to get right back on track, kind of like you didn't lose the track or lose time?
Yeah, so I got that same question on my last podcast, and we didn't, you know. It was interesting, the people that are all in, you know, obviously the leads and supporting actors, and then the main crew, which is maybe about six of us for the main crew, they're all in. And so having that break, I think, was actually just nice for them to go back to their normal lives and kind of regenerate some energy, because making a featured film is no joke. It takes a lot of energy, time, dedication, sacrifice, you know, like 14, 15 mm-hmm. days. You're driving home at 4 or 5 in the morning. You know, it can be pretty brutal. And for a lot of people that come on, you know, especially like first or second timers, you know, like sometimes you get people like, well, I've done like 2 or 3 short films. I'm like, that's cool, man. But, you know, features are just so much more brutal. Like, short film, you're talking 1 or 2 weekends normally. Feature film, you're talking 6 months. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more of a time commitment and dedication. And to be honest, not everybody makes it. You know,
yeah.
Some people drop off, and that's okay. You know, I know that already kind of going in. But so as long as you have that strong inner circle, you can continue to bring people in if you need to. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how it always has been with me in film anyways. But you know, the break was kind of nice, but I don't know if I'd do it again. You know, it is a little more stress on me. I think everyone else had a good time because they got a break, but I didn't get a break, you know.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
You're sure. Under the gun a little bit, make sure it was done when you got back. So
I know it's a little more pressure. Like, well, you better finish this thing and start writing. Yeah. But some people, they do really well under pressure. You know, they seem to focus more and kind of get things more accomplished. And I think I'm one of those people. And so I don't want to let anyone down, like, ever. And so it's like, you know, you need to do this. But I also wanted to tell a really great story. And one of the benefits I have, I'll go back to Les, who played Sherlock. Since we've known each other for about 12 years, you know, I'm able to talk with him and we bounce off ideas and, like, what if we went this direction? What if we went this direction? And there's a lot, that's the fun part of creating. And, you know, there's moments where we're like, should we do this? Are we taking this too far? And then it's kind of like, you get to the moment like, well, who cares? You know, like, mm-hmm. our film, you're never going to make everybody happy. Right. It's split. You know, there'll be 50% will really, I think, enjoy the film, and 50% will hate it. And they'll be like, this is not my Sherlock Holmes. I don't like it.
Yeah.
But people say the same thing about Robert Downey Jr.'s version. They'll say the same, like, Titanic's the best movie ever made. People are like, I hate that movie. Like, you just can't.
Right.
It's always tell filmmakers, including myself, just make the movie that you want.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're the one putting in 3 years of work. So go make the movie you want to see.
So. Yeah. Yeah. It seems like the movies that are the most divisive are also the most, not divisive, I guess, more polarizing, that the people that dislike it means that the people that do like it will love it even more to kind of make up for it. And yeah, for sure. Was it at all intimidating to take on writing a Sherlock Holmes story or mystery? Because as the greatest detective the world has ever known, I can't imagine coming up with an idea and a complex mystery that is worthy of Sherlock, I guess.
Yeah, there's obviously, Sherlock's been done a ton. And, you know, going into it, it's kind of like, you know, what can you create that you want to see that the audience hasn't seen yet? And the story I first originated from really didn't even have Sherlock in it. I just kind of came up with this really good story and this idea. And then I was like, well, somehow, I think I was actually watching Robert Downey Jr.'s version. And I was like, well, Sherlock's a very interesting character. So I started doing some research, and you know, author Conan Doyle, and you know, I read half of the Scarlet Book, and I read half of the Hound of Baskerville, because I didn't want to read all of them, because I don't want it to influence what I write.
Right.
And I only watched maybe two or three Sherlock films, and there's obviously a ton of Sherlock stuff. And so what I was finding is like, well, Arthur Conan Doyle, he wrote these books that had a lot of dark elements. Sherlock was, he drank a lot. He did drugs. He didn't always win the cases. You know, he's smoking opium, like all this stuff. I'm like, well, that's very interesting, because you don't really see that with the Hollywood style. And so I just started digging in deeper, like who Arthur Conan Doyle was, what was his beliefs in life and all these things. And so that really started to intrigue me. And what I found is like, they haven't really humanized Sherlock to the point where, what if Sherlock Holmes was actually a real person? And he was dealing with murderers and rapists and serial killers on a weekly basis for 50 years. Mm-hmm. What would that do to him and all the people that he cares about around him? And that is what drew me into the story. So you haven't really seen that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, well, that's going to be very dark. It's going to be R-rated. And it's going to be pretty messed up. And we're going to show some things that Sherlock fans have never seen. And that's what really intrigued me. And once I told Les, you know, the beginning, the middle, and the end, he was like, yeah, I think there may be some people that may not like us, but yeah, you know, let's do this. He's like, I'm in. I'm like, all right. So that's kind of how it came to me creating the script.
And that's very exciting. Yeah. That's kind of what I got from the small amount of visuals that you have shown. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very intriguing. I know people overuse the phrase gritty, but it does seem kind of like a more grounded, darker, gritty version of Sherlock Holmes, which is very cool because, yeah, he was late 1800s in like everything. And he's a detective, so he's involved in murders and rapists and all these dark, seedy underbelly parts of London. And I think that that's very interesting to explore. So I'm interested in seeing that.
Yeah, seeing a grizzled Sherlock kind of just in the, like Jake said, the visuals that we got to see and stuff. I was like, just the visual of him kind of sitting on his own in that like room, all, you know, the long hair and the beard. I was like, this looks like the direction I would always imagine him kind of being forced to go. So I'm very excited to see what you do.
We hope, we hope people obviously take to it more than they don't. But what's interesting, like Sherlock, you'll hear a lot of people say like, well, he doesn't show his emotions, right? That's like one of his strengths. It's just like, he doesn't let that get involved. Mm-hmm. And we're the exact opposite. And so showing an emotional Sherlock because of all these things that have happened, like true heroes in our world, they go through some serious stuff. And unfortunately it messes up a lot of them. And that's what a true hero is. And so I really wanted to show what that looked like. So.
Yeah. So especially seeing him later in life after he had bottled that up for so long, I could see that being in canon or whatever, like fans could still accept that.
Yeah, you can kind of start to see him lose it a little bit, like in the teaser, like the guy from the river, you know, he's like lifting him up and just like
yeah.
So all those shots in the teaser, those are all in the movie. They're not just like inspirational or look and feel that you can expect kind of things.
So in the shots teaser, from the movie. The teaser, all those shots are in the film. The short film that's out, which you might have seen, that was for a sort of like a proof of concept, and to help crowdfund the film. So like that scene in general is not in the movie at all. It's really just kind of like, this is what our character is going through, and this is kind of the demeanor, and you know, he's alone, he's hallucinating, and he has to smoke opium to keep the demons at bay. You know, this is kind of who Sherlock is. So that's not in there, but there are similarities to that style in the short film, you know, and some of the scenes, you know, where we kind of showcase that style that I did for the short film in the movie.
So. Very cool. Very cool.
Were there any particular like influences in addition to Sherlock that you are injecting into it? I got like an Edgar Allan Poe vibe or something like that. They kind of share a similar time frame, but I didn't know if that was intentional or just me reading into it.
No, I think you're spot on. I think as a writer, I write, I direct, and I also edit my films just because I like, I want to tell the story I want to tell. So as a writer, you know, kind of what influenced you, you know, well, a lot of writers, they use like, you know, kind of what's happened to them and their lives, right? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of these characters, you know, you start to kind of put your own thoughts and yourself into some of these, and then you have to like add steroids to it and make it 10 times worse. Like, I'm not that messed up. I'm sorry. What was your question? I just
just what sort of influences applied to the visuals and the story in general, other than Sherlock?
I think you know my story that I like to tell. I like to have them kind of relate to the real world, what we go through on a daily basis. You can see that in my past films as well. You know, you kind of go through, like in life, we all go through things at different times, you know, whether it's a father-son relationship or, you know, wife, husband, whatever. And in this one, you know, I think sometimes stories just kind of come to you, and I just felt it was very intriguing, you know, just to show this iconic character who is a hero to a lot of people. But let's peek behind that curtain and show kind of what it really is if you're doing all those things. And that was really just the motivation outside of that. I think in the indie world, on the business side of things, you know, if you're on the lesser scale, not that well known, and you're still trying to break into the industry and hopefully make a little money off of your film, you know, Eyes of a Roman is about Marcus Crassus and Spartacus. Okay, so you're using characters that people know. Sherlock Holmes, the person, obviously, the world knows. And so that helps. You know, that will help this movie because it's intriguing. If Sherlock Holmes was not the title and y'all saw the trailer, it still might look intriguing, but because it's not Sherlock, you know, there wouldn't be that as many people that would want to watch it.
Yeah, you kind of get some additional background for free that people bring to it.
Familiarity with it.
Yeah, I think that's just smart, you know, business, you know, on a feature, but that's not really the reason I did it though. You know, Sherlock's just a very cool character that can be done a lot of different ways. But one of the other fun things that I liked about it, you know, there's obviously Easter eggs in the movie from some of these other characters in his world, but I was able to create my own villain that hasn't been in the Sherlock world.
Okay.
And it's a female villain. And the teaser, you get to see her backside, you know, like walked up, and that was really it. And we're gonna reveal her more in the actual trailer coming out probably in October. But that was a lot of fun, you know, creating an original character to put in the Sherlock world. We actually have two female villains in the movie, so it's very interesting. And what I liked about it, you mentioned Edgar Allan Poe. I do have references to Edgar Allan Poe in the film because where the film started, you know, I want to say Edgar was probably like 30 or 40 years before the Sherlock time frame for us.
Okay.
And so there's references there that he actually have it in some of his dialogue. He referencing Poe. He doesn't say Edgar Allan Poe. He just says Poe.
Sure.
So some people may not miss it. You know, they might miss it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But another interesting thing that I was able to do is I'm a really big person like in history. So my villain, she really went the way of like Mary Shelley, you know, who wrote.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
And then all these other females and past history that she really looks up to, and strong women and all this stuff. So mm-hmm. It's really cool to see, and I'm excited.
You know, yeah, but
that's awesome.
To show that villain. She's pretty intense. So.
Looking forward that's to awesome. That. Yeah. So I'm curious. You filmed in San Antonio, correct? Or right around the San Antonio area?
Yeah, on the outskirts in Comfort. Outskirts.
Okay. How did you manage to make the outskirts kind of look like, you know, 1800s London for Sherlock Holmes?
Sure.
I've been trying to rack that in my brain since watching the teaser. Like, this is an awesome undertaking. Curious to know how you pulled it off.
Yeah.
Or approached it, I should say.
Yeah, so that kind of went into, you know, thought process while you're writing. And so it's like, well, obviously I can't bring London here, and, you know, it's not a, you know, $50 million budget where I have studios and green screens galore. So where do we start this film? Luckily, overseas, at least during that time, they did still have a lot of open space, mm-hmm. Like in the country. And Sherlock, you know, he wasn't poor. You know, his brother, he was wealthy, all that stuff. And so my mind was like, okay, well, either his parents or his brother or him just in general, you know, he has a house, you know, out in the countryside, and he got away from the city, you know. Okay. So that's kind of where the film takes place a lot of. We do show a few back alley scenes, which you can kind of do anywhere. But that's how we did it. You know,
nice.
You're not going to be in the streets of London like Robert's film was.
Right.
You know, ours is more country-esque because he wanted to get away from everything. So
I like that approach.
Yeah,
and that does fit the character of Sherlock. I mean, I've read the whole collection when I was younger, and I still have it with me. Sherlock's just always been a really cool character to me. Just introduced my daughter to the character of Sherlock Holmes actually last week. And so prepping for this has just been like, oh, this is, I love your approach to it, because I agree with you on seeing where all this time Sherlock has spent with such dark things, what it would actually eventually do to him over time. I think it's and he's a perfect character to show that kind of like weight.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he would go into isolation, right? He's not going to hang out in the city and get bugged by all these people and cops. And
right.
Yeah. He's kind of a unique personality that wouldn't be super social or just retire amongst a bunch of people.
Yeah. I mean, it's a real struggle for him. I think, you know, you'll find that right off the bat, I think, with our film. So
very exciting.
That's awesome. I'm extremely looking forward to it. I'm very excited for whenever it comes out. Going to be following closely, of course. And I encourage everybody to go check out your pages and the Sherlock Holmes Mare of the Night website. You have all of your, and YouTube and everything. You have all of your trailers on there. If anybody just watches that last teaser you put out, and if you did watch that and don't enjoy the visuals, I would be very surprised, because it looks absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it looks like a blast. I'm very excited for it.
Is there anything you want to plug, or anything that that you want people to do, anything they can do to help support, get it shown near them or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, they can just really just reach out to us. You know, I'm on Facebook, Instagram. You know, the Sherlock Holmes Mare of the Night has its own Instagram page and Facebook page. So they can message us. Kayla Rich, she's my marketing executive. She's the one that helped set this up as well.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm.
And so we keep track of all of that. You know, we want to go where the audiences are that want to see the film. And most cities or even towns now have art houses that show indie films. And so the last podcast, he gave me two or three theaters, and he's up in Massachusetts.
Oh, wow.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's so cool.
So I'll be there. You know,
yeah. Like,
so obviously Austin, we'll show it in Austin as well.
Yeah. And,
you know, the best way just to kind of keep up and follow what's going on is just probably Instagram or my Facebook page. You can also follow us on my YouTube page. You can subscribe there so you get all the updates, all that fun stuff. And if you're close to San Antonio, you know, we have a lot of other things that are going to be happening. I think we have new shirts that will be available soon that we'll be selling. And then we have a Halloween party coming in October. We have this mansion that we do in Curva. We did it last year, and we had about 100+ people. Everyone dresses up as Sherlock Holmes theme, and it was really cool. A lot of Moriartys and Sherlock's walking around. Of course, I showed up as the Mad Hatter. I was like, I'm going to be different. So I was like, Alice.
Very cool.
But yeah, that's really it. I mean, obviously, the more they share, the better. We love to get the word out, kind of spread this thing, like sort of like Terrifier 2 did. And, you know, really hope it just spreads across the country. I think everyone's going to enjoy the film. It's a lot of great actors, ensemble cast. We have author Conan Doyle in the film too as a character, which is very unique. You know, they've done it before, but not very much. And so I'm very excited to show that. I dive into Lestrade's story.
All right.
Which is really cool because he doesn't get much love.
You know? ever.
Yeah, I mean, that was something that I was like, well, where did Lestrade come from? You know, like, how does he know Sherlock? And so I really dove into that too. And so it's really a film about a lot of characters that I think the Sherlock fan base loves. And even if they don't, you know, there's still some good stuff there. And I'm excited to show everybody, and we'll see what happens, man. We'll see if they...
Sounds like something for everybody. If you're a fan of Sherlock, there's a lot of Sherlock lore. And if you don't know who he is, there's a lot of original stuff too. And that sounds very cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of love in there for like the hardcore fans. You know, we have some classic sayings that he says, and there's some really cool Easter eggs, all that good stuff. And it's good stuff, man. And if you guys are ever interested in, you know, having Sherlock on or some of our other characters, Lestrade, let me know. We're happy to come on and
talk to
the characters, and I'll have to like prep them. Like, don't tell them too much.
right.
Yeah.
We will do our best not to ask, you know, spoiler style questions.
So what happens to your character?
Gotcha. Yeah.
Tell us all of it right now.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, that would be great.
All right. So yeah, everybody go check out, CJ Goodwin and his Instagram and Facebook page, and Sherlock Holmes Mayor of the Night.com and their Instagram and stuff. And yeah, see where there'll be screenings near you, or just get in touch and help support them. Cause I think once you watch all of the promo stuff, you'll get pretty hyped for it. I know I did. I'm pretty excited about it.
Awesome.
So yeah, thanks, CJ. Yeah. Thanks for coming on. That was fun.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me on, guys.
And can't wait to watch it and see what you do with it, man.
We'll have to do it again. I don't think whenever, you know, once we know, like, all right, you know, this is where it's going to hit, you know, the theaters and all that stuff, I'd love to come back on and just tell your fan base about it. And,
Definitely.
And sometimes, you know, the podcasters, they go to the premieres. So if you guys want to do one at the premiere, that'd be fun too.
Yeah, that would, especially since Dustin's local, that would be cool.
Yeah, probably wouldn't say no to that.
Yeah, that we'll stay in touch for sure. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, thank you, CJ.
Thanks,
guys. Thanks a lot.
So excited.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was fun.